So their godlike king Nausithous led the people off in a vast migration, settled them in Scheria, far from the men who toil on this earth. He flung up walls around the city, built the houses, raised the gods' temples, and shared the land for ploughing. But his fate had long since forced him down to death, and now Alcinous ruled, and the gods made him wise. Straight to his house the clear-eyed palace went, full of plans for great Odysseus's journey home. She made her way to the gaily painted room where a young girl lay asleep, a match for the deathless gods in build and beauty. Nausicaa, the daughter of generous King Alcinous. Two handmaids, fair as the Graces, slept beside her, flanking the two posts with the gleaming doors closed. But the goddess drifted through like a breath of fresh air, rushed to the girl's bed, and hovering close she spoke, in face and form, like the shipman Dymas's daughter, a girl the princess's age, and dearest to her heart. Disguised, the bright-eyed goddess chided, Nausicaa, how could your mother bear a careless girl like you? Look at your fine clothes lying here neglected, with your marriage not far off, the day you should be decked in all your glory and offer elegant dress to those who form your escort. That's how a bride's good name goes out across the world, and it brings her father and queenly mother joy. Come, let's go wash these clothes at the break of day. I'll help you, lend a hand, and the work will fly. You won't stay unwed long. The noblest men in the country court you now. All Phaeacians, just like you, Phaeacia, born and raised. So come, first thing in the morning, press your kingly father to harness the mules and wagon for you, all to carry your sashes, dresses, glossy spreads for your bed. It's so much nicer for you to ride than go on foot. The washing pools are just too far from town. With that, the bright-eyed goddess sped away to Olympus, where they say the god's eternal mansion stands unmoved, never rocked by gale winds, never drenched by rains. Nor do the drifting snows assail it. No, the clear air stretches away without a cloud, and a great radiance plays across that world where the blithe gods live all their days in bliss. There Athena went, once the bright-eyed one had urged the princess on. Dawn soon rose on her splendid throne, and woke Nausicaa finely gowned. Still beguiled by her dream, down she went through the house to tell her parents now, her beloved father and mother. She found them both inside. Her mother sat at the hearth with several waiting women, spinning yarn on a spindle, lustrous sea-blue wool. Her father she met as he left to join the lords at a council island nobles asked him to attend. She stepped up close to him, confiding, "Daddy, dear, I wonder won't you have them harness a wagon for me, the tall one with the good smooth wheels, so I can take our clothes to the river for a washing. Lovely things, but lying before me all soiled. And you yourself, sitting among the princes, debating points at your council, you really should be wearing spotless linen. Then you have five sons, full grown in the palace, two of them married, but three are lusty bachelors, always demanding crisp shirts fresh from the wash when they go out to dance. Look at my duties. That all rests on me." So she coaxed, too shy to touch on her hopes for marriage, young, warm hopes in her father's presence. But he saw through it all and answered quickly, "I won't deny you the mules, my darling girl. I won't deny you anything. Off you go, and the men will harness a wagon, the tall one with the good smooth wheels, fitted out with a cradle on the top." With that he called to the stablemen, and they complied. They trundled the wagon out now, rolling smoothly, backed the mule team into the traces, hitched them up, while the princess brought her finery from the room and piled it into the wagon's polished cradle. Her mother packed a hamper, treats of all kinds, favourite things to refresh her daughter's spirits, poured wine in a skin, and as Nausicaa climbed aboard, the queen gave her a golden flask of suppling olive oil for her and her maids to smooth on after bathing. Then, taking the whip in hand and glistening reins, she touched the mules to a start, and out they clattered, trotting on at a clip, bearing the princess and her clothes, and not alone. Her maids went with her, stepping briskly too. Once they reached the banks of the river flowing strong, where the pools would never fail, with plenty of water cool and clear bubbling up and rushing through to scour the darkest stains, they loosed the mules out from under the wagon yoke and chased them down the river's rippling bank.